Hey everyone, this is John, and this is the Nintendo Direct, the best damn Nintendo podcast on the internet. This is not a Corona cast. This is not a official show. This is my reactions to the Nintendo Direct that aired today, March 26th. It was a surprise Direct. Well, there were some rumors that it was coming, but Nintendo went ahead and dropped the video without any sort of announcement. It just appeared. I do want to get Wes and Ryan's thoughts on all the stuff they talked about. I just got so excited that I wanted to do a recording immediately just to get, you know, my ramblings out of the way. And then when we're all back together in the same room, we'll get their thoughts on the whole thing without much interruption from me. So let's get right into it. The first thing that they showed before they do their sort of like identification for what they're doing there was Xenoblade Chronicles Remaster. And this is something that they've been doing on a lot of their Nintendo Directs, whether it's like an indie world or, you know, a mini Direct. They start with a trailer and then go into like, hey, it's a Nintendo Direct. You know what this is. Let's get going. But the biggest thing that came out of this Xenoblade trailer was the release date. It is coming May 29th. There has been some speculation, some postulation about this game possibly being earlier in the year than maybe expected or suspected, because like as in first half of the year as opposed to the second half of the year. And yep, here it is. Before we even get into summer, we're going to have Xenoblade to play through for, you know, the tail end of spring and all through the summer. It's going to be really good. There's also a new scenario, which is really exciting. Sort of, they pitch it as an epilogue. So I suppose like when you're done with the main content of the game, there'll be like a rewind scenario with Shulk and Melia trying to get to the shoulder of the Bionis, something like that, to find some sort of high Entia city or settlement. My memory of the story and the lore of Xenoblade is a bit fuzzy at this point, because the High Entia live in the city of Alchemoth, which I thought was the capital, but they're talking about the capital in this. I don't know if this is going to be something that expands on the story or the lore, or if I just don't remember certain things, which is all equally likely. But I think that it's a pretty, like, if you know the story, like the ending of Xenoblade, I think it's pretty pretty obvious that you pretty what's the word, inferable, if that's a word, that you can you can infer that this is something that takes place in the middle of the Xenoblade story as opposed to after, you know, the ending or where the narrative leads to. But they also talked about interface updates, which I think is really good. And some updates to the music. They've done some re-recording, which is also very cool. For my money, the music in the original Xenoblade has been the best in the series so far. I really, really love the music, and I even use the music when we do outro music on these shows. I use some of the Xenoblade music quite often. So, and I think the interface updates are also really important here and really exciting, because one thing that you could say about the Xenoblade games is that there are a lot of times there's just menus and menus and information scattered and buried all over the place. I think that bringing things more to the surface and having them be a little bit more intuitive, and even just going so far as to have it easily readable, would also go a long, long way to, you know, not having to tinker in menus for forever to figure out what things do what. So, yeah, really, really great that they're doing some work with the interface there. There's also a Definitive Works box set, which comes with a nice book. The European one comes with some more swag. But, you know, this sort of thing, I didn't look too much into it, because that sort of thing doesn't appeal to me anymore. Just give me the game and let me play it. That's what I'm really interested in. And God, I'm super pumped for this game. I'm so glad that they led with it and that we're getting a release date that's going to be really soon. Because, God, it is one of my favorite games, not only on the Wii, but one of my favorite RPGs. I really love just the world building that they do in that game. It was one of the first games that I played that had such an expansive world with things to discover and landmarks and outlandish environments, things that you wouldn't see in other games that are trying to be more grounded, they really went heavy into like fantasy aesthetic stuff, even more so than something like a Final Fantasy X or a Final Fantasy XII or some of its other like contemporary JRPGs, which were sparse, admittedly, throughout the late aughts and early teens of the past several years of this century, I suppose I should say. And the game looks really great. I really dig the anime art style. All of the character models look a lot better than they used to. All the environments look really great. I'm super pumped to get my hands on this game. It's going to be so, so good. So we also got confirmation from this Nintendo Direct of some stuff that was already rumored that me and Ryan had speculated that was pretty likely to happen. And that is a bunch of stuff from 2K, including the BioShock Collection, the XCOM 2 Collection. One thing that we had not heard about or talked about was the Borderlands Collection, which was a surprise here. I don't know much about the Borderlands series. I haven't played much of it. Wes, and I believe Ryan's also played a bit of it. So, you know, they'll probably have some thoughts on what these things, the quality of these games and what this could mean for them being on the Switch. But I just wanted to spend a second talking about, in the Borderlands collection in particular, it comes with Borderlands 1, 2, and a game called The Pre-Sequel. I don't know if that's a full entry, maybe some sort of, like, expanded pack, like an expansion pack, I guess would have been back in the old PC days. The thing about all of these 2K games is that there's some sort of shenanigans about how much data you're having to use in your onboard storage, even though they're coming out as physical copies. So sticking with Borderlands, only Borderlands 1 comes on the card. And look, a bit more than 50%, I think it's like an 8 GB card, they said, but it does require a 6.6 GB download, and both of the other games are required downloads, and those total out to 35 GB, they were saying. So that's a lot of space for these games, and the Switch cards are only available as 32 GB ones. For now, 64 GB ones might come at some point, but that's an investment of space, not something that's totally intolerable, but man, that's asking a lot to, you know, have a physical copy of something and have what 70% of it be something that that you're basically getting digitally. And the other thing, this could be a cost-saving measure, because I did do a little bit of research, and on Amazon, you can get a Borderlands collection, which is just 2 and the pre-sequel, and that's $15 on other systems. So they're really going to have to... I swung by the Switch eShop earlier today. They didn't have any pricing listings yet when I checked. Maybe the pricing listings have popped up now that I'm recording this. We'll see. I'm worried that these things are going to be fully priced games, whereas you can get a lot of them on other systems for cheaper. I'm afraid they're going to pull a Capcom here. We'll see. I think that to like $30, because it's including Borderlands 1, would be a tolerable price point for this when you compare it to where you can get it on other systems. There's a lot of game there, but for me, I think we're well past the point of expecting to have to pay more because we're playing it on Switch. You know, this is not, they're not doing us a favor anymore by bringing us these games. Like, this is a viable, like, this is the most current viable system that there is. You know, the other competing systems are on their way out. Their sales are on the decline. Switch is still on the rise. So they're lucky to be here. So we shouldn't be taxed because we're like the unstable platform, the newcomer, the one that still needs to be tested. No, this is the place to put your games now for the next several months at least. So just moving through the other collections, the BioShock collection, that's probably the one that interests me the most. Even though I don't play too many first-person shooters, I've always been interested in this series. So what you get in the BioShock collection is the sort of shenanigans around the storage. They say that the opening act, in quotes, are on the card for each game, and then later game content have to be downloaded. Which, I don't know how far the opening act would constitute in these games because I've never played them. But again, you're having to use up your own storage for something that's coming out physically. And that doesn't, I don't know, that doesn't sit entirely right. It's tolerable, but I wish they would have found a way to make this viable on a single cart if you are, you know, releasing it physically. And this is another one where, again, you can get the Bioshock Collection, all three of those games, for $15 on a single disc on other systems. So I am highly, highly skeptical that they'll release this for $15 on Switch. That is incredibly unlikely. We'll see how big the gap is. The other thing about all these games is they're coming out May 29th. That's the same day as Xenoblade. So I'm going to be waiting on all of these anyway. Whichever ones I am going to get, they're going to go on an Amazon wish list until the deck is cleared from all these RPGs that are coming out. The last one, XCOM 2 Collection. It is the first two base game missions that are on the card. And then the rest of the game has to be downloaded. They say less than 24 gigabytes. And man, these are such sizable downloads. I did do some price checking on this one. This one's at $30 on competing systems currently. So, you know, again, depending on how much they release, that could be a bit more competitive as far as you know, price point goes. And next comes another series that I'm interested in. It's one that Ryan has talked about from time to time. This is sort of a tactic strategy game, which are games that I really like. They talked about the next update for Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, The Black Order, Shadow of Doom. This is the Fantastic Four update with those Fantastic Four characters. I tried to do some poking around. I couldn't get any sort of confirmation about new stages. There's a ton of really great characters, and I haven't indulged in any of the paid content for this game at this point. I might someday, because it would be really cool to get all those other X-Men like Jean and Gambit and Cable. And I believe Iceman's part of that other pack as well. So it'd be really great to get those characters in the game. But God, I really wish that they would do some like expanded content in terms of stages, because that's what I really want out of this game. It's just to give new things to do rather than running through the same, I think it's like 10 to 12 stages that you get just playing through the base game. So that's the thing that I hope they expand on next if they do continue to do expansions. And I hope they do. I hope they're having good success with this game and that they keep on bringing more of it. The next game that they showed is one from Capcom, which is why it interests me. Shinsekai Into the Depths. This one is one that is available now. You can download it on the eShop. I believe it's $20 currently. I don't know if that's like an opening sale price or if that's just the asking price. This one looks like an underwater like SteamWorld dig because it emphasizes exploration, and there is some action to it as well. But also, what reminded me of SteamWorld Dig the most was the sort of like customization and expansion of the abilities and durability of like your diving suit, which makes me think about like, okay, what you do is you collect your resources, you upgrade a bit that allows you to go a bit deeper. I don't know if that's the gameplay loop, but that's the impression I got from the short little clip that they showed of it. And it's one that I stuck on a wish list. That might be a cool one to, you know, download at some point and figure out what it is. So yeah, might hear about that one later on as the months go on, depending on what other games are coming out. There's an Animal Crossing event that will be taking place from April 1st to the 12th for Bunny Day, as they call it. And it's like an Easter egg hunt type thing. So in Animal Crossing, if you're unfamiliar, I'm just now getting familiar with the sort of gameplay loop of Animal Crossing. There are spots throughout your island, your property, like your gameplay area, where there's cracks in the ground and you dig them up with your shovel and they're fossils. Or sometimes you can dig up things like money. You've got some buried treasure. And what they're doing with this Bunny Day thing is they're burying eggs, and digging up these eggs will allow you to craft different decorations and furniture and just like island accoutrement that is Easter themed. You have like multicolored eggs and banners and stuff. So it's a limited time thing. This event is only lasting till the 12th, and once that's gone, you won't be able to dig up any more of these resources and craft more stuff. So there is a sort of a collector's fetish if you want to do this. They did mention like rolling around next year, so maybe they'll have new stuff and bring back some old stuff. So there's like a window of time where you can only do it now and never be able to get it again. I'm sure they'll bring all plus some around next year for as long as they support this game. So I don't know, like this sort of thing, like I'm not interested in like doing like the completionist collection of all this stuff. I'm really not all that interested in collecting like eggs and egg decorations. Mika just jumped into the game. She used her own profile to explore our island. So, you know, maybe she'll have fun hunting for eggs and making the decorations. I'll give her a little section of the island where she can have all of her bunny decorations that, you know, someday when she's lost interest in the game, I'll take down. What would be really cool, though, and I'm sure they'll do something like this for Halloween, is like having a like Halloween-themed decorations. That's something I could get into, like having a nice like high-up place on the island with like a bunch of like pine trees and stuff. You can like decorate with like pumpkins and other sort of Halloween themed things that you can just keep year round. That would be really fun to have. The next game that they showed was another one that's immediately available. It's like they're running an ad in this Nintendo Direct for games that they're dropping on the eShop that day. This one's called Good Job. It's like a sandbox game where you're just completing simple tasks. Getting things to places, like moving a projector is one of the things that they showed. Operating a crane, watering plants. It's just like it's set in an office building, and you're just kind of like managing like a lot of the day-to-day task stuff within this office building among the different floors. The art style is interesting because it's very like simplistic and minimalist. I like what they do with the character models. They're just like these plain black, like not stick figures, but like bubble human looking things. So it's got that going for it at least. But you know, with like it gave me more vibes of games like Moving Out, The Stretchers, Overcooked, except you're doing these office tasks, which, you know, Dez and I played through the demo levels of Moving Out, and she had a pretty good time with that. So that's something that we might end up getting when it comes out at the end of April, you know, depending on her general mood, because I'm not going to play that game solo. And it looks like Good Job is more of a solo experience, which I don't have much interest in playing that kind of a game by myself. So, and I generally don't have that much interest in these games. I never bought any of the Overcooked games. I didn't buy The Stretchers. So it might be something that I get into, you know, if Dez really likes them and wants to try other ones. But those other games I just mentioned would be higher up on the list than something like Good Job if it does have co-op. So, the other thing about Good Job is it does give you this sort of option, whether you like you follow like a path of chaos and crash through things, through all these destructible environments in order to complete your tasks, or if you take the path of order and try to do things where you're not knocking things over. So, you know, kind of cool that you have the options there. Catherine Full Body Edition is coming to Switch on July 7th. And I believe this is the first game from Atlus on the Switch, so it's been a long time coming. Nice of them to join the party. This is something that, you know, because it's from Atlus, I do have a little bit of interest, but I more follow Atlus for their RPGs, which is really their bread and butter. This one's a puzzle game where you're like climbing these falling blocks, so I'm not sure if that's for me. It also looks very narrative heavy. So it looks like it's divided into two halves where, you know, you have like a narrative like dating sim or visual novel in the first half, and then when the character goes to sleep you have to work your way through those puzzles so that, you know, he wakes up and doesn't die. So I don't know, price point will matter, what else is coming out around it will matter. Right now I'm going to be so swamped with RPGs from like end of April until probably well into July. I'm not so sure about this one. We'll see. There's a demo currently available for Ring Fit Adventure. It looks really cool. Hopefully I'm able to see if Ryan can get the update and give that a test for the official show. That'll be good to hear his thoughts on if he's still going strong with that game. There's a rhythm game mode, which is cool because they're like using the Nintendo music. They showed it off with like the Mario Odyssey Jump Up Superstar song, but then they also showed like Breath of the Wild music and Splatoon. So it was cool that they're like incorporating their own stuff into these sort of rhythm games. They really do have some really great music across all of their franchises. You know, it also probably makes it super easy for them because they don't have to pay anybody to license their music. They just use their own stuff. It must make it so much easier. So that looks like a really appealing thing. There's also a jogging mode, which I'm not exactly sure if that's something that's currently in the game. It sounded like from the language they were using that it's a new thing, or maybe it's something that, you know, is part of other activities, and now you can just select jogging and play that section by itself as opposed to having it mixed in with other exercises if that's the way it works. And then there's also a female voice option for the ring character within the game, and also different languages. So, you know, cool. You get different people, different options to customize parts of the games the way they want to play them. King's Bounty 2 is coming to Switch in 2020. This is a tactics RPG. I had never heard of this series, and it's something that they pitched in the Direct as something that has a lot of pedigree behind it. I did a little bit of research. It does seem that it's been dormant for a while. There was a game back in the early 90s and then maybe a couple of expansions or iterations, but never any like proper numeric sequel, and this is it. It seems like this one's also been in a little bit of a development hell because there were like a couple of pages that I found about it like being announced for Steam and then maybe working with Microsoft on something, but I couldn't find any sort of release date. So I'm not sure if it's still coming to other platforms or if this is something that's been picked up for Switch at this point. I don't know. Things are a bit murky. But, you know, hopefully it's good. Hopefully it's a good another good tactics RPG to add into the system. The more the merrier. They announced that they will be announcing a Smash Ultimate Fighter at some point in the future. In June, specifically. They did say that it was going to be someone from ARMS. Whether that means like they pick one character or have like a character that has a couple of skin swaps with different playable characters within the game, we'll see. It's interesting that they're, you know, given that franchise, there's been one game, they're giving that game some love after, you know, it's been out for nearly 3 years at this point. They've stopped doing like regular updates within the game. So, you know, it's something that they supported for a while and had some good support for, but it had its time. And it seemed like they were moving on, but I suppose not, because they are putting a fighter in Smash. It better be Twintel. That's the most obvious choice, of course. But no, in order to keep like the ARMS franchise, God, I said it again, the ARMS game, there's been one of them, sort of like in the public consciousness, to kind of like remind people of it or get new eyes on it, they're doing a free full game trial from today, at time of recording, until April 6th. So if you've never tried ARMS, you can go ahead and try out the full game. And if it's for you, I'm sure you can find a deal somewhere. That game, you know, it's a Nintendo first-party game, so it's probably not dirt cheap anywhere. But, you know, you might find someone on eBay or Craigslist just trying to, you know, clear out a collection and might be able to pick it up on the cheap if you like it. The third game in the Bravely Default series, Bravely Default 2, was talked about next. And yeah, it looks exactly like Bravely Default, you know, of course, with updated graphics. Battle system looks very much like Bravely Default. The job system also looks very much like Bravely Default. There is a demo. I put about an hour into the demo, and yeah, that's it. The only thing that I have not seen yet in the demo is the option that was in Bravely Second, where you can chain battles together. Like you can choose like, hey, you just fought this battle, do you want to fight another one and sort of like exponentially grow your experience from these fights by fighting multiple battles in a row. There they are going to be sending out some sort of survey, so if I end up getting one of those, that's definitely the suggestion I'm going to add, because that makes it much easier, especially to do like grinding for job points to upgrade your jobs. In the demo, You do get four jobs to mess around with. It is the monk, a vanguard, which is kind of like a warrior, a black mage, and a white mage. And you max out your job level at level 7. I have not discovered a level limit for the character, the actual characters, but, you know, I probably won't get to like a max level in there. And this isn't like the beginning of the game either. This is like a slice. They call it like an original story. So this is not something that's probably going to appear within the main game at any point. In other Bravely Default games, Bravely Second, they gave you a sort of side story, and then if you completed that, you would get a bonus, like some bonus items in the main game. So, you know, maybe they'll do something like that. It's still slated for 2020. You know, the fact that they're looking for feedback, this has got to be a late 2020 game. Hopefully it ends up coming out this year. But, you know, with all the health concerns going around, I wouldn't be stunned if this game ends up slipping to 2021. It'd be unfortunate, but, you know, it's possible. So, some other things that I noticed from the demo. Your characters like have like a sort of capacity, like a weight limit to what they can carry before they start like getting stat detriments, like to their speed and stuff. So, you know, you have to be mindful of the types of weapons and armor you're putting on these characters. That does increase as you're gaining levels. So, you know, if you have the money for some expensive armor, but not like the physical capacity to carry it, you have to level up a little bit before, you know, you grab it and without hurting your stats. And I think that's all I wanted to say. Oh, and then there's a couple of side quests that I found as well. So, you know, very much like other Bravely Default games, you'll have side quests. They do get marked on your map where your side quests are going to be, like as you're out in the overworld. Something that doesn't happen, though, is that you don't have a quest log in your menu. And also, I can't figure out how to make the descriptions of each sort of a section in the menu go away. So, you know, if every time I open a menu, it's like items, and there's a little box under that that says, this is stuff you can use, that sort of thing. I can't figure out how to make that go away. So that's going in the suggestion box as well as a quest log. Because there's one quest, side quest specifically, where I can't remember what the objective was, but I can see where the objective is within the dungeon. So I'm going to... Without a quest log, I can't see what that objective actually is, short of going back and talking to the guy who gave it to me. Oh, one really great thing about Bravely Second is that the battles are not random. You can see the fights out on the field and like give them a little whack with your sword in order to gain an advantage in the fight. So that's really great. One thing that I did like about Bravely Default and Bravely Second was you were able to adjust the frequency of your encounters. So if you wanted more fights, you could of course do that, and if you wanted no fights, you could do that as well. That doesn't seem to be an option this time, but the fact that you can see enemies on the screen and, you know, do a pretty decent job avoiding them if you want to, kind of mitigates the disappointment of being able to turn them off completely if you want to. So yeah, Bravely Default 2. I keep wanting to say Bravely Second. Bravely Default 2, the third Bravely Default game. Really looking forward to it. Looks really, really great. Clubhouse Games 51, Worldwide Classics, was a surprise announcement. This one's coming out June 5th. And, you know, like the name implies, it's, you know, just a bunch of, like, card and like dominoes and mahjong and darts and billiards, like all of these different sort of games. There is local and online play, which is really cool. They showed really briefly when they're going through the list of all 51 games, something called Tanks, which immediately reminded me of the Tanks game in Wii Play, if anyone remembers that one, which is one that I had a really great time with. And, you know, again, depending on things like what's coming out around it, price point, you know, this is something that I might consider picking up just for the Tanks thing alone. Ninjara, which is a game that, you know, has long been missing. I think this one was announced back at like E3 2017, in the first year of the Switch,
is finally coming out on May 27th, so just about a month here. So yeah, this game still exists. That's pretty great. This is clearly very inspired by Splatoon. It's like a four-person squad battle royale kind of thing. You have different like ninja weapons, like katanas. You have hammers and shit. You can do an air dash with bubble gum. So you know there's just some acrobatic stuff going on there. It's a free-to-play game, which is interesting. I was not expecting that. But there it is, you know, so it might be something that that's worth a try and report back on. We'll see. Star Wars Jedi Knight Jedi Academy is out now. That is the port of the GameCube game that I never played. And also Star Wars Racer, which is I think something that Ryan predicted might happen on Switch at some point. Star Wars Episode 1 Racer is also coming to Switch at some point. That's pretty funny. Panzer Dragoon is another one available now, and this one was a surprise as well, because this one also went radio silent for a little while, or, you know, definitely wasn't as hyped. You can kind of, I've been seeing some previews that it's not that great. It's kind of got relegated to sizzle reels. I think it appeared on one sizzle reel back in, like, December at, like, a little direct or indie direct thing that they did. It's also $25, which is also kind of a hint to me at the quality of this thing. You know, I put it on the wish list. It's an okay looking game. It looks like it might be fine. We'll see. I might, again, pick this up at some point when I clear the deck a little bit and see how it is. So it might be something that pops up on a mini show. So after Panzer Dragoon, it just barely made it out of the sizzle reel. They went through the sizzle reel. And first up was Trials of Mana. I got there's so many really cool RPGs coming. I'm going to talk a bit more about Trials of Mana on the official show when we're previewing the month of April, because that one's out on the 24th. It's a really cool game. They made a lot of great improvements to the combat and the level up system and how you're learning skills and the interface. It is leaps and bounds better than the combat system and interface of the Super Nintendo version, which I played through late last year. So I'll get more into that one on the official show, but it's just really great how, you know, we're getting a big RPG for end of April and May, and then we're getting Xenoblade in May and then into June. And then there's another game, Trails of Cold Steel 3, which looks interesting. There's a demo of that one out now. I have not played the demo, but that one's out June 30th. And, you know, if I play through demo and I like the battle system, that will definitely be on my radar. I will certainly not be finished with Xenoblade at that point, because I plan on working through Xenoblade slowly. So because I'm not going to be rushing through Xenoblade, I'll probably, again, depending on what else is coming out, have the time for another RPG. I have heard that this one is quite narrative heavy. I'll have to do some research to see, you know, if things are skippable, if I can just get kind of the basic gist, if there are markers on a, like a map of where to go next. You know, so some of that interface type stuff will also depend on if that one's a purchase. Fuser is like a rhythm looking game. That one's coming out fall 2020. Elder Scrolls Blades is spring this year. Warhammer 4000, that's in May. Vigor is coming out April 9th as a closed beta. It's like a shooter-looking game. Not really interested in that one at all. Burnout Paradise was an interesting one. There's a Burnout Paradise remaster coming to the Switch sometime this year. Look at EA actually showing up for something. Saints Row the 4th is out tomorrow, time of recording. Mr. Driller Drillland is June 25th. Minecraft Dungeon is sometime this spring. So, you know, some pretty decent stuff, a bunch of ports, and of course the Trials of Mana remake, which looks really, really great. And then the one last thing for this show was the Pokemon Expansion Pass. I'm going to save any sort of talk about that for the Pokemon show, where we can really get in deep and really pick it apart if we want to. So, yeah, that's the end of this podcast then. Really fun Nintendo Direct. It was nice to finally have one again. You know, for someone who really likes RPGs like me, there's a couple of really great things in there that are going to be a lot of fun. You know, and then also, like, the stuff from 2K is also standout to me. Even though I still have some lingering questions, I think that it would be really great to finally jump into the BioShock series, which is something that I've been looking forward to getting into for quite some time. So, next up, I'm going to be attempting to post the After Dark that the three of us recorded remotely. Dez was on the show too, so the four of us recorded remotely. So hopefully everything goes smoothly there. If not, then put out an explanation at some other point then. And we are all planning to be back together in the same room after several months at the end of the month here for the official show. So, till next time, everybody.